I would like to continue this evening the thought we had begun Sunday morning and continue Sunday evening on the import for the week. Tonight I would like to focus our attention upon the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator and our Preserver. You'll see this reflected in the hymn and also in the remarks which I will have after tonight.
Thank you.
members of Holden Village. In the third of his great critiques, the Critique of Judgment, the Lutheran philosopher Immanuel Kant turned his attention to the topic of the aesthetic experience. Experience which defies the capacities of the human mind to understand and completely to comprehend. We distinguish the aesthetic experience into two varieties, the experience of the beautiful and the experience of the sublime. Both of these varieties of experience are available to us on every side in Holden Village. He divided the sublime into two varieties, the mathematically sublime and the dynamically sublime. He said that the mathematically sublime experience is the kind of experience which occurs when we encounter phenomena which our sensible powers can deal with, but our mind cannot comprehend. Copper Mountain. Mountain. The view down the valley from the top of Hart Lake, the clouds moving over the top of the peak, the view down from Copper Basin as you stand poised on a pile of fallen rock about to go over from one side of the mountain to the next. You can't grasp it all. It's too much for the petty human mind. And so the mind is boggled at the sight. The dynamically sublime. The dynamically sublime is the kind of experience which occurs when we think thoughts that can never be sent. And the most sublime and the highest of these thoughts is the thought of God, whom we cannot experience, we can only think. And the sublime experience is a very difficult experience for man, because it is, of all the kinds of experiences which man can have, the one experience which does damage to man's self-esteem and to his capacity to deal with it, because he has a faculty which cannot operate in the situation. And so he feels mixed feelings of joy and fear. And the experiences are terribly attractive. On the one hand, he experiences great joy at the capacity of the one faculty to deal with the subject. And on the other hand, he feels personally threatened because his other faculty cannot deal with it in the way it is accustomed to operate. And so, man pulls back usually from the experiences of the sublime. And he pulls back from the opportunities to enlarge his vision of the God whom he loves because of the sublime. And what men tend to do, because they can think God but they cannot sense him, if they begin to engage in all varieties of idolatry, as they, in their own minds, give God sensible form in order that they can humanly deal with him. And so periodically, each of us has to undergo experiences where our soul's view of God is expanded and stretched, where we are forced to make our personal God bigger than we had thought him, because we are continually making him smaller and smaller and smaller. And the smaller the world in which we live, the smaller the God who rules it for us. And this is another reason for holding. Because when we come to hold him, we are brought into that large place where a tiny God cannot dwell. And we are forced to look about ourselves and to see the mountains and the impress upon the mountains of him who threw them up. And we are forced, as we were this afternoon, to hear the thunder on the cliff and the noises and the forces which are mightier than anything we had ever conceived before. And so our soul is stretched, and its God becomes bigger than he was when we came. Those of us who know Holden and who have been here before come here for our spiritual exercise. I would like this evening to give you a formula for spiritual exercise so that what I have to say tonight is only the beginning and you will complete it. I would like to suggest to you that sometime while you are here, you take your Bible for a walk on one of the forest trails around Holden. And you read Psalm 104 aloud, slowly, thought by thought to yourself. I felt for some time, I've never talked to Carol about this, but I felt for some time that Psalm 104 was written several thousand years ago for Holden Village. I don't know whether the author had the name straight, but I felt that it was meant for us. Read Psalm 104. In anticipation of that, I would like to read it for you now. And I think you may find it helpful if while I'm reading it, you close your eyes and let your soul wander wherever it will. Bless the Lord, my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art great indeed, clothed in majesty and splendor, and wrapped in a robe of light. Thou hast spread out the heavens like a tent, and on their waters laid the beams of thy pavilion. You take the clouds for your chariot, riding on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, and the flames of fire your servants. Thou didst fix the earth on its foundation so that it never can be shaken. The deep overspread it like a cloak, and the waters lay above the mountains. But thy rebuke they ran. At the sound of thy thunder they rushed away, flowing over the hills and pouring down into the valleys to the place appointed for them. And you fixed a boundary which they might never pass. They shall never return to cover the earth. You make springs break out in the gullies so that their water runs between the hills, and the wild beasts all drink from them. And the wild asses quench their thirst, and the birds of the air nest on their banks and sing among the leaves. From your high pavilion you water the hills. The earth is enriched by your provision, and you make grass grow for the cattle, and green things for those who toil for man, bringing bread out of the earth, and wine to gladden men's hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread to sustain their strength. The trees of the Lord are green and leafy, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted. And the birds build their nest in them, and the stork makes her home in the very top. The high hills are the haunt of the mountain goat, and boulders a refuge for the gopher. You made the moon to measure the year, and taught the sun where to set. And you make darkness in its night, and all the beasts of the forest come out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. For when you make the sun rise, they slink away and go to rest in their lairs, and man comes out to his work and to his labors until evening. Oh, countless are the things that you have made, O Lord. You've made everything by your wisdom, and the earth is full of your creatures, beasts, great and small, and there's the immeasurable sea in which all manner of creatures move. And ships are sailing there to and fro, and even there is Leviathan, whom you've made your plaything. And every single one of them look expectantly to you to give them their food at the right time. And what you give to them, they gather up. And when you open your hand, they all eat and are full. And then you hide your face and they're restless and they're troubled. You take away their breath and they fail. And when you breathe into them, they recover again, and you give new life to the earth. Oh, may the glory of the Lord stand forever, and may he rejoice in his work. When he looks at the earth, it quakes, and when he touches the hill, they pour forth in smoke. And I am going to sing to the Lord as long as I live. And all my life I am going to sing psalms to my God. Oh, may my meditation be pleasing to the Lord as I show my joy in him. Away with all sinners from the earth. May there be no more wicked. Bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, praise the Lord. Happy walking.